أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 26. إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها. Indeed, Allah is not ashamed to draw a parable, whether it's that of a gnat or something above it. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. As for those who have faith, they know it is the truth from their Lord. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. And as for the faithless, they would say, what did Allah mean by this parable? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Thereby he leads many astray, and thereby he guides many. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And he leads no one astray except the transgressors. Now this verse is related probably to the verse just a couple of verses before, which talked about the Quran. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you are in doubt about this Quran, what we have revealed to our servant, then bring one surah like it. And if you cannot do it, then beware and fear God. Now, some people may have said that if this is from God, what are these parables coming in the Quran? Like, for example, parables about the spider, parables about the mosquito, things like that. Then this is an answer to that sort of objection. Now, we have certain verses in the Quran which talk about such parables. For example, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت اتخذت بيتا. Those who take friends beside God and worship them, أولياء, worship those أولياء beside God, are like those who are like a spider which makes a home for itself. And you know the home of the spider with those sort of strings, very, very thin one and weak ones, is the weakest house. You just can, with a blow, you can destroy it. And that's why it says, وَإِنَّ أَوْحَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The weakest of all houses is the house of the spider. And also there is an example given in Surah Hajj. Apparently, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was in Mecca, and some people believed, some disbelieved, argument was going between believers and disbelievers, and they tried to convince each other. And one of the believers made a parable, an example, which the Quran quotes. It doesn't say, of course, who made this parable. It just says, Ya ayyuhan nas, and this is, of course, addressed to the disbelievers, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. An example, a parable was made. It means probably one of the believers came to his mind, and Quran quotes it. That إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَن يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Those who you call beside Allah, they cannot create one gnat, one fly. Even if all of them come together, of course, that's very clear. All these idols made of stones, they could not create a fly. وَإِن يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْهُ. And if a gnat, a fly, takes something away from them, they cannot get it back. Now, what type of God is this that you are worshiping? This example was given. Now, this example was quoted in the Quran, and apparently the mushrikun started to say that, What are these examples? Why Allah talks about spider and flies and such things? This is a very high, if it is from the God, if it is from God, if it has come down and revealed to the Prophet, it should be much higher than bringing such examples. So, who actually objected? It's not very clear. Some say it was the Jews in Medina who objected to such examples in the Quran, that this revelation should not contain such things. Some say that it was the munafiqun who said that. After Allah said, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلَ الَّذِي اسْتَوْغَدَ نَارًا, as we had before, their example is like the one who makes a fire, and then as soon as it enlightens around, Allah would take away that fire. And some say it was the mushrikun. Anyway, that's not important who said that. This is an answer to an objection, even if it's a theoretical objection. Allah is not ashamed to draw a parable of a gnat, of a fly, and what is above that in the smallness, even what is more than that, because, of course, everything in this creation, even if Allah gives the example of an atom, that atom is so complicated in its creation that no one can imagine it is created by anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the objection is not mentioned, who said that, but the answer has come, that Allah is not ashamed of giving example of a fly, that Allah creates flies, for example, creates mosquitoes. And there is one very interesting hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that is mentioned in Majmu' al-Bayan. He says that إِنَّمَا ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ الْمَثَلَ بِالْبَعُوذَ, Allah has made this parable and given the parable of a gnat, لَأَنَّهَا عَلَى سَغَرَ حَجْمَهَا, because despite its small size, very minute size, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا جَمِيعَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي الْفِيلِ, everything that you can find in an elephant, you can find in a gnat, despite its small size. So it is even bigger in argument. It is even more stronger in argument that Allah says, look what I have created. And even really, whenever we ponder in the creation of insects, we are amazed how, despite their very small size, they are like a very compact sort of smart being, created in very small sizes. So if you think that these things are insignificant and God should not mention them in the Quran, you are wrong. You are actually not thinking enough. You are not pondering in creation of such small things. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَهِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the believers. You see, this is the position of a believer. Whatever they see in this world, whatever they see in their life, whatever they hear from the Book of God, from the Prophet, they realize the truth in it. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَقُولُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, they say, wow, this is really the truth. Yes, the idols that we worship cannot create a fly. And if a fly takes something from them, they cannot get it back. And they can think about the truth of the creation of a fly. However, for the disbelievers, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بَهَذَا مَثَلًا, the disbelievers will say, what's the significance of this? Is this something that Allah has said? Is this something that God should mention? So they say, what Allah seeks from such examples? Why? Because they do not think deep. They are very superficial, even in understanding the words of God. يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. With such example, Allah leads many astray, and of course leads many to guidance ويهدي به كثيرا. However, وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين. He would not lead astray except the transgressors, the sinners, the فاسقين. Now, this is something which has come up frequently in the Quran. That first of all, we have يضل من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء. He guides anyone he wishes. He leads astray anyone he wishes. And these sort of verses have led some scholars and Muslims to believe that yes, guidance and misguidance in the hands of God. We are not influential in that. It's destined for us whether we should be guided or we should be misguided, whether we should go to hell or we should go to paradise. It is in eternity, it has been destined by God. And in this world, Allah misguides some and guides some. And then, of course, those other people who, other Muslims who think about it deeper, they say, well, this is not justice. If Allah guides some and misguides some others, so where's the justice? He misguides me and then he takes me to hell. It's not something that we can accept. And of course, the opposite side will say that, no, you define justice. You have no right to define justice. Justice is what God does. Anyhow, we cannot take such things. It is not logical to think in that way. Now, if we think deeper about this, if you think about the ending sentence, وَمَا يُذُلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ, Allah would not lead astray by this type of examples, except the sinners. Fasiqin. Fasaqa means come out, came out. Fasiq means someone who comes out of faith, comes out of belief by sinning. When we sin, actually, in a sense, we have abandoned our faith because sin is in contradiction with what we believe. And therefore, when we sin, it is as if we have come out of our faith, and that's why a sinner is called a fasiq, someone who goes out. Now, Allah would only misguide the fasiqeen with that. So, although it is said that by this example, by such examples, Allah guides many and misguides many, but the misguidance is only for fasiqeen. And this is something which is mentioned in many other verses of the Quran, that, for example, let me see, in what surah we have, I just want to mention the verse, yes, in Surah Ibrahim, وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah leads the oppressors astray, يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, and Allah does whatever he wants. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Again, you see, this misguidance is for ظالمين and not for everyone. كَذَلِكَ يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الْكَافِرِينَ. In this way, Allah misguides the kafirin. Now, the question is, if someone is already fasiq, if someone is already kafir, if someone is already ظالم, they are misguided. What does that mean when Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الْكَافِرِينَ or وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah misguides the ظَالِمِينَ. Now, here we have to, these are the verses which actually guides us to the meaning of this misguidance. We have, if you remember, I said we have two types of zina in tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, zinatullah and zinatul shaitan. Zinatullah was whatever is made nice for us in this world, taste of the food, our desires, which we desire things, these are our zinatullah, and it's very good. If it was not this zina, this decoration, these attractions, we wouldn't have lived, we would have killed ourselves. We wouldn't have wanted to live. But these are attractions of the world. Allah has made it so that we can live, and by living, we show our inner qualities. Then there is zina to shaitan, the decoration, attractions that shaitan makes to us. That, for example, we are attracted to what does not belong to us. we transgress our rights, in whether it is in our desires, whether it's in our taste, in our property, we transgress. This is zina to shaitan. So we had zina to Allah, we had zina to shaitan. Now, in the same way, we have izlalullah and izlalu shaitan, misguidance of shaitan, misguidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or leading astray. Zalala, which comes from shaitan, zalala, which comes from Allah. Now, zalala, which comes from shaitan, is what? Shaitan calls us to disobey God. Shaitan calls us to go away, deviate from the paths. وَلَأُذِلَّنَّهُمْ, this is what is mentioned in the Quran. وَلَأُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ, I will lead them astray. I will make them to have long desires in life. I will command them to do all sorts of evil. This is what is إِزْلَالُ shaitan. Shaitan comes, وَلَقَدْ أَذَلَّ مِنْكُمْ, as in Surah Yasin, وَلَقَدْ أَذَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Look how shaitan have made many of human beings to go astray during the history. Do you not ponder? So this is إِزْلَالُ shaitan. So would God lead us astray in that way? We know God is always calling us to go through the straight path. How would he want to deviate us from the straight path? Allah never wants anyone to deviate, to be deviated from the straight path. So, izlalu shaitan is what makes a person kafir, what makes a person fasiq, what makes a person zalim. After we are actually made fasiq or zalim or kafir by izlalu shaitan, so this is what we voluntarily accept. And of course, it's very deep inside human beings. We really cannot realize how it works, how people decide, for example, to be ungrateful to God, how some people hate God. This is something deep inside every human soul. And we are here to show these things. We are in this world to show all these things inside us. And that's why we are created in this world, and we are being tested through many different difficulties, trials, tribulations, and all these things is all to show what is inside us. Now, izlalullah comes after this. After we are deviated, then God would bring these verses for us, would show the nature to us, and whatever sign we see of him, we mock it, or we say, why God does this? Why Allah does such things, for example? Why we have calamities in this world? Why we have injustice in this world? So Allah is unjust, for example, unjust or these things. This is izlalullah. Izlalullah comes after izlalu shaitan. Now, what is izlalullah? It's not calling us to, for example, evil. Allah, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. There's a very clear distinction between what God does, what shaitan does. Shaitan, innama ya'murukum bis-su'i wal-fahsha. What shaitan does is he commands you to evil and indecency. But what Allah does, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. Allah never commands you to do evil, to indecency. Never, of course. It's very clear. Now, izlalullah is this, and this is very clearly mentioned in Surah An'am. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever Allah wants to guide opens his heart to Islam. And how your heart would become open to Islam? When you are a good person. When you are a bad person, your heart never would become open to Islam. As someone who has sort of evil interior, their heart never opens. It's because of their evil. It's because they are already somehow led astray by shaitan. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُذِلَّهُ. Whoever Allah wants to misguide, what does he do with him? And this is because they are zalim, because they are kafir, because they are fasiq, because they are already being misguided by Shaitan, what Allah does, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُذِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا, makes their heart tight, that they would not be attracted to anything which is related to faith, which is related to God. Their heart is so tight, so closed, يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, it's easier for them to fly in the heaven, in the skies, than talking about God or believing in something which is good. كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, or we have that Allah in this way puts the uncleanliness, the dirt, so to speak, on the heart of those who do not ponder, who do not think. Therefore, this is something that we see every day in our life. If someone is a sinner, we sometimes come across certain people who continuously sin in their lives, then gradually they leave faith. They don't believe in God anymore. They don't like to talk about God anymore. This is because their hearts have been closed now. And on the contrary, you do good for a while, you believe in good, you do good, you would see that your heart opens to Islam, submission to God, your heart would open. This is a reward or a punishment. This is not an initial misguidance. And therefore, here, for example, Allah mentions the example of a gnat, and some people say, ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا? What does God intends by bringing? Is it the heart is closed? They don't think deep. They don't ponder on whatever Allah says. They just make a very quick judgment. That, no, what is this? What's the meaning of this? Or for example, in Surah Muddassir, we have وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَةً وَمَا جَعَلْنَا إِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. God says that there are 19 angels on hell. Now, instead of actually managing the hell, 19 angels managing the hell, instead of we pondering, okay, what does that mean? Instead of going and ask the Prophet, why Allah mentions 19 angels are guarding the hell, for example? Why 19? What's the significance of this? He said, well, look, what is this? It's just myths, mythologies that Allah is mentioning here. And at the end of that verse, Allah says, وَلَيَقُولَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, we make these statements which are very unfamiliar to you. Of course, these statements are very unfamiliar because they belong to another world. We make these statements so that the believers would increase faith. وَلَيَقُولَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بَهَذَا مَثَلًا. And these believers say, what's the significance of such examples, of such statements? كَذَلِكَ يُظِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is how Allah guides many by the Qur'an and misguides many by the Qur'an. Now, there's a verse in Surah Mu'min, in chapter 40 of the Qur'an, which says a lot about this mechanism of guidance and misguidance of God, which comes after misguidance of Shaitan. Allah guides and misguides. Shaitan only misguides, isn't it? قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. There is only one guidance. That's the guidance of God. Of course, no one else can guide us. But for إِذْلَال, yes, initially Shaitan leads people astray. And that would lead people to go astray by the verses of the Quran, by signs that they see in this world. And this is إِذْلَال that is attributed to Allah. Now, in Surah Mu'min, you know there was a Mu'min in Ali Fir'aun. We called him the believer of the clan of Fir'aun or the people of Fir'aun. He was the cousin of Fir'aun. And he was the one who initially protected Musa and didn't allow them Fir'aun to kill him. And the argument that he had with his people and especially with Fir'aun is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Mu'min. And one of the things he says to his people is, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيَّنَاتِ. Now we know that Joseph was before Musa alayhi salam. When Joseph came and the king of Egypt made him his assistant, his treasurer, king of Egypt believed in him, and he actually made everyone to believe in Joseph, in Yusuf alayhi salam. However, of course, the culture, the attitude of the people did not like it, and soon the king was killed, and the temples were raised again, and idolatry came back again. And after that king and after Yusuf died, of course, because Yusuf had found lots of fame in Egypt, especially because he saved Egypt from destruction, he saved Egypt from that big famine of 7 years, everyone respected Yusuf, Joseph. No one could doubt about the integrity and truthfulness of Joseph. However, after he died and after the king was killed, then everyone said, okay, yes, Yusuf was a good man, but now he's dead, and he had some ideas, some views. Let those go to history. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ This Mu'min Ali Faroun is saying to Pharaoh and his own people, before Musa came to you, Joseph, with all those clear signs that you saw, of his truthfulness, of the miracle of saving you from the famine and all these things. فَمَا زَلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ Continuously you were in doubt about him. He called you to truth. Of course, you couldn't openly oppose him because he had a very high position then, but you were continuously in doubt. When he was calling you to Tawheed, it means this verse shows that the king actually had made people to accept Yusuf, but they had doubts in their hearts. Hatta idha halaka, until he died. Qultum lan yab'athallahum ba'dihi rasula. You said, okay, Yusuf has died. Allah will not send any messengers anymore. Let's go back to our old gods and temples, such things. Now, then it says, كَذَلِكَ يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ مُرْتَابٌ In this way, Allah leads anyone who's musrif. Musrif means using things not in proper way, using the grace of life, using the gift of nature, all these things not in proper way. And مُرْتَاب means always in doubt about God, about monotheism. You could not believe in Joseph because you always wanted to have doubt in your heart, because you were musrif, you were using the gifts of nature, gift of life in wrong way, not in proper way. You were always in doubt. And of course, how Allah can guide you? But he misguides you. كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ مُرْتَاب So, we see izlal of Allah is a punishment. Not a punishment in the sense of conventional way. As you remember, I've said before, even in hereafter, punishment and reward are not conventional things. They are real consequences. Now, this izlal of Allah is a real consequence of kufr, consequence of fisq, consequence of zulm. When we do these things, we completely are shut off from guidance, completely shut off from going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he says, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ Okay, who are fasiqin? Look, this is very, very, very clear that Allah does not misguide anyone initially. And if anyone attributes this to Allah, it's absolute misunderstanding of the Quran, absolute misunderstanding of the whole mechanism of guidance. Who are fasiqin? الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ Those who break the covenant of God, the covenant made with Allah, after having pledged it solemnly to God. So, this breaking the covenant, is it misguidance or not misguidance? It's misguidance. But is this what God has done to them? No. After they do this thing, then misguidance of God comes, which is that tightness of the heart. الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل and sever what Allah has commanded to be joined ويفسدون في الأرض and cause corruption on the earth أولئك هم الخاسرون. These are those who are the losers. You see, who's fasiq? Fasiq is someone who's already misguided. And then after that, the misguidance of God will come. Now, however, fasiq is someone who breaks the covenant of Allah, who severs what Allah has commanded to be joined, and who makes corruption. And these are izlal shaitan. After all these are done by someone, then comes that Zalala, which is from Allah, which is tightness of the heart. They cannot believe, or even they believe it's very superficial. It's just something said, not something believed really in the heart, not something practiced in life. And therefore, it should be very clear for us that fasiqun, kafirun, zalimun are those who go far, far away from Allah, initially by their own choice. Then comes this izlalullah, and that means that his signs would not work in them anymore. The signs are not intended for them. The signs are intended for others. And when they hear these signs, the communication of Allah, or see anything in nature, they go farther away rather than coming closer. الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون. إن شاء الله we'll discuss it in our next session. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Thanks very much, Sheikh. Interesting but confusing at the same time.
I thought I made it very clear.
Well, let's open up the discussion then.
Okay.
We might fill that. Okay, Ria, do you want to start? Yeah, thanks.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Just because the word fly, gnat, appears here, I'd like to present to you an alternate form and see what you think about it. When I am sitting somewhere and reading the Quran so I catch up, I feel good. But when I'm sitting at home and I've got David Attenborough with all his nature programs, I actually seem to value God more when I see what he's created. And with it come other sets of realizations. And it makes you feel very small, and you think that, you know, whatever you have in your body cannot compare at all. You know, you feel insignificant, more insignificant than a gnat, so to speak. So that brings you the right feelings of... Now, am I talking about the real Islam here, or am I deviating?
Yes, of course. I mean, when you see such programs which actually put the signs of Allah or the power of Allah under the microscope for you, you see it with your own eyes. Of course, that is Hidayatullah. Now, someone else may see that and say, look, this is nature which makes these things. There is nothing. This is Izlalullah. You see, Izlal is when you see the signs, but you are so far away from God that you don't see it from God. And hidayah is when you see it and your faith increases. Whenever they see a sign from God, their faith increases. This is hidayatullah, of course. Yes.
Thank you.
Because sometimes it actually goes to that, and I'm thinking when I go to sleep, I spent 2 hours watching David Attenborough and only spent 10 minutes on the Quran. So you feel guilty and you think, hang on a second, the balance is not right there.
And what you see there is an explanation of the Quran. That's good. Exactly. No problem, yes.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Manju?
Alaykum as-salam.
No, it's not on. Yeah, just press the top button. Yeah.
You know, every person is created on the fitrah. So what is the first step which takes person either on the path of shaitan, he accepts the message from the shaitan, or he accepts the message from Allah? So what is that first step which sort of makes his life?
We don't know. It is very, very complicated. Very complicated. We only know that the whole world, this world, is set up so that our soul shows reactions to what they see from the signs of God, okay? And the way the soul shows reaction would determine how it's going to be placed later on. So, as we have in Surah Jasiya, وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. Allah has created this, set up this heaven and earth based on truth and a real thing, so that every soul is rewarded by what they do. That means that the only purpose of us in this world are the reactions that we make to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is absolutely a prelude. This is not life. This is a sort of a stage in the process of our creation. It's not life, and that is what is mentioned all the time in the Quran. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَحْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ لَحْيَا الْحَيَوَانِ. This world is only play and sport. The life comes after this. So the reactions are very important, but how it happens, why some people decide, maybe at very young age, or maybe at old age, you see, we don't know really when it happens, how it happens. It's just a reaction that we make, our soul makes, and the purpose of life is, in this world, is only these reactions, actions and reactions.
Thank you. Sisters? Yeah, Bismillah.
Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you so much for a wonderful explanation. How it may be a little contradiction to our belief, but in the Quran it has been mentioned about astronomy, that there's a science behind it. And when the child is born, how much the stars can influence that person in his belief in God or in the way he conducts his life in future? What's your opinion on that?
Astrology, you mean?
Because the stars always plays, they say, important role in one's life, influence of the Mars or influence of the various stars in one's life. So how does it relate in our
Everything
fate?
May influence the position of the stars or everything in this world, the attitude and nature of biology of fathers and mothers and all these things may have. But one thing we should not forget, these influences would not take the free choice of the person. That is the important thing. If we think that these influences are in a way that they take away the free choice, yes, they may give different attitudes. For example, someone is more inclined towards art, to mathematics, isn't it? More inclined towards, for example, science than to poetry, or vice versa. These are things which are affected by, if astrologers are right, they say, by the position of a star. But they don't take the free choice of the person in terms of faith and disbelief. Because if that is the case, the whole idea of this world would go away.
Thank you. Riaz?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much indeed for the lecture. Sheikh, we all pray that we remain within the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the more that we pray that we get closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become central to that. So if that's our position, inshallah, what is the position of the fasiq? What is his redemption? He finds himself falling, and with the idlal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that accelerates it beyond his fall, beyond the rate of gravity, for example.
Yes.
And he's moving away at an exponential rate, and he wants to return to God. What is his path? What is his way? Because he's been misguided by Allah in the sense that you've explained just now. And he's moving away constantly. How does he stop that movement and he find his way back to God.
There are always, always in everyone's life, there are occasions when events come as reminders. And these are actually the blows of mercy of Allah coming. إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ We have this very famous hadith, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَحْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ أَلَا فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا وَلَا تُؤْرَضُوا عَنْهَا Your Lord has blows of mercy in your life. So expose yourself to it. For example, someone is fasting, okay, and it's going farther and farther. Then, for example, their child died. This gives them a shock. That's why our child, for example, our son or daughter died, passed away. And this is that law of mercy which comes and makes people to think, to ponder, or calamities come, or different natural disasters happen that makes people to think, or joys will come that make people to think, to be grateful. So there's always in everyone's life frequent instances when, if they want to go back, there's a chance always. And we know that repentance is always there. The only problem is that people cannot just repent by like that. It needs a shock, a reminder, and Allah always, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ We took them with punishments, of worldly punishments, so that they come back. But if they don't choose to go back, there's no way.
Thank you, Sheikh. So that's very beautiful. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that it surpasses the idlal. And it's always there available course, for whoever wants to.
That's true.
It's up to them to open their eyes. Yes. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Sisters? Yep.
Assalamu alaikum. You could hear that you can be a believer all your life, but at the time of death, you could turn and become a disbeliever. Could you explain that to me?
Yes, you may be a believer, but someone who takes faith very shallowly, superficially, only outwardly, and then you do, if a person does many wrong things, for example, I pray and I fast and I go to mosque, but for example, there's an orphan relative, I don't care at all, or I'm very jealous, or I do certain things which harm other people, despite being a believer, I backbite, I damage reputation of people, I hurt others. These are the things which maybe at the moment of death take that superficial veneer of faith from our hearts and we turn to disbelief. But of course, if faith is deep, if it is not superficial, if it's not just a sort of turf of decoration on our heart and our appearance, then it never ever leaves the heart. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا This is actually absolutely an answer to your question, the verse. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ Allah would establish the believers with a very continuous, firm word in this life and in the next world. And therefore, if faith is deepened, then there is no way for it to leave.
Thank you. Surprise? Yeah.
It's Surah Ibrahim.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, what Riazbhai mentioned right now, I think the key to the sentence, he said, what happens if a fasik wants to turn back? The key is the want. As soon as a person finds himself in any position, if he wants to turn back, then that's the key. Then Allah opens all the avenues for him. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes, it's true. But what Riaz was saying, that if that Izlalullah comes, can he really want to go back? Can he have that desire at
that's
all?
That's the free will when it comes.
Yes. And that desire comes when there's a shock, there's something which makes him to ponder, to think, then of course it would be possible, and he would want to go back. If that want is there, if that want is there. Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. Brothers?
Sorry, I mentioned the verse from Surah Ibrahim here in my talk, and just mentioned this one. Actually, these are parts of one verse, and this is very interesting. It says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah would establish the believers in their faith in this world and next world, and he would mislead the zalimeen. So if someone, for example, if someone is an oppressor, does all sorts of wrongs, and then they claim that they are believers, but at the moment of death, Allah would take it away. It's not possible that they would keep that faith. You kill people, you destroy people, for example, just like Ali Saud. Let me make a very, very contemporary example. And you claim faith, that you claim that you are Khadimul Haramain and all these things, this would not remain at the moment of death. يُظِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Of course, Allah does whatever is right, because his will is right.
Thank you. Any sisters, brothers? Firoz, you want to ask? Firoz? No? Sheikh, is it correct to say that, for example, if somebody becomes a fasik and then Allah will increase his rebellion nature, he will become more oppressive and more dangerous than compared to the person who was kind of doubtful from the beginning whether there is a God existing or not? So is my sort of interpretation correct, that the person becomes fasik?
You see, as I said, this is not a conventional punishment. It's a consequence. You commit sin, the heart becomes tight towards guidance. The heart cannot think about God anymore. It's a natural consequence. And this is the izlalullah, as the Quran mentions. Not something which initially Allah does with people, but consequence of sin. And consequence of good act is opposite. I mentioned this before. Someone went to the Prophet or Amir al-Mu'minin, I don't remember now, and said that my heart has become very hard. I cannot cry anymore for my sins, for example. I cannot do Salatul Layl. And the Prophet told him, or Amir al-Mu'minin, told him that go and find an orphan who is your relative or anyone, and do good to him or her. And then you would see that your heart would soften. So the heart would become softened or would become dried and hardened by what we do. This is what is the meaning of guidance or misguidance of Allah.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. If somebody's heart has become hardened,
yes,
then whatever action he does, it will be more brutal, for example, sometimes.
Yes.
What we see around the world at the moment, sometimes.
That's right.
So is that my interpretation, in a way, correct?
Yes, but what's the point now we are making, that why God does this, or what?
No, why does... you see, if somebody is a believer and then he becomes a fasik, so then comes into play the nature that Allah is Laullah. So then he becomes more and more away from Allah and his heart becomes more harder.
Yes.
And so whatever, if he oppresses somebody, he doesn't see that he's oppressing, he's just for his own benefit, he's sort of doing that, and whatever pleasure he's getting from that. So he's more of that oppressive, becomes more of the oppressive nature.
Yeah.
And has... that effect on the environment is worse than the person, for example, if he was not that much believer. Like, for example, we opened up the question and answer session with David Attenborough. I mean, his nature is not to sort of be oppressive, although...
Yes, of course. You see, the interesting thing is that Allah doesn't say only kafirin are included in this Israel. No, even those who believe but are fasiq, those who believe but are oppressor, zalim, you see, someone may just apparently be a Muslim, but if they become fasiq, that misguidance comes. And when misguidance comes, they think that whatever they do is good, is right. Yes, I'm, for example, saving my, for example, country, or the interest of my country, national interest, by, for example, attacking another country, killing many people. I'm doing this for the sake of, it's Islam, isn't it? It's just killing people for imaginal sort of things.
Sure, thank you. Any other brother? Or yeah, Bismillah. The mic is at the back.
So this this point, which I think Riaz started and then Raja followed up, about at the last moment before death to try and overcome your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that you are not categorized as fasiq or whatever. Mm. I guess it is individual, isn't it? I mean, can people around that person, so death sometimes can be with reasonable confidence can be postulated for somebody suffering with cancer. He knows, the person knows, and the people around him knows that he's going to die in weeks or whatever. So if at that time, is it that individual, him or herself, with Allah's rahmah, hopefully will change? Or do you think there's a role to play for people around him, like his immediate next of kin or whoever? But then when I think about that, I said that who are we around a person who is dying to make a judgment? And by us suggesting any practical proposals for that person, how would that be taken by the person who's going to die? Here I am dying, and this person is trying to tell me at the last moment what I have done right and what I have done wrong and how I should change my life or whatever. So then I sometimes try and reflect on Hur. Did it come to him naturally? Or he saw what was happening around him. I don't think Imam Hussein told him, you better repent now. It just suddenly, Allah's rahmah came on him.
Yes.
And he changed.
Yes.
So us here, today's practical question is, a person who is dying, you hope and you pray that he will change. Do I have a right to make a judgment and start talking to him along that line?
We cannot judge anyone. You know, the judgment is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even the angels cannot judge. You know, let alone us, the angels cannot judge. That's why the judgment for 99.9% of people is deferred to the day of judgment. I think we mentioned before, there are a minority of people whose judgment is made on the moment of death, and those are the real evil and real good, and not by us, by God. And the real good, like prophets, like saints, awliya, their judgment is made and they are destined for paradise. At that moment, there is no doubt about it. They go to paradise in barzakh, and then straight away they go to paradise in hereafter without going through those stages. The very evil people, their judgment is made on the moment of death. They go to hell of barzakh, and they go to hell without going through all those stages. Now, majority of people, there's no judgment for them. The judgment is deferred until the day of judgment, and only Allah can judge who should go to paradise, who should go to hell. And if that is the case, we cannot make any judgment. But there is one thing. You know, as I mentioned about these moments of rahmah, for example, someone who is tried by a disease or something like that, then we may help in a sense, or someone who's just on the deathbed, a word from us may be a reminder to them, which somehow connects to their heart. It's good if we say it. But we don't know whether it has any influence or not. For example, it's good when someone is dying to tell him to say La ilaha illallah and such things. But these only work if inside is working. If inside is not working, there is no effect for it. However, as I said, the judgment, we cannot make the judgment yet. Allah's mercy, as we have in hadith, has 100 parts. Only one part is shown in this world. 99 parts is going to be shown in the next world. So who knows who goes to paradise, who is included in that mercy, who is not included in that mercy. And we should not be somehow fooled by the idea that because we have name of a Muslim, we go to paradise, and because they have name of other thing, they go to hell. This is absolutely against the Quran. Allah doesn't judge like that, that Allah judges with reality, not by names. And therefore, you cannot make judgment. True. Yeah.
Thank you. Any last one, sisters or brothers? No? Thank you, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, next week?
No, I'm going to wait for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Inshallah, after, in 3 weeks' time, inshallah.
3 weeks, inshallah. Shukran, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.